Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Welcome. Happy Friday. Numbers seem to be the rage today in football.
Rookies are taking part in mini camps, yes. And so they've been assigned some jerseys. Yeah,
rookies are showing up, and they're getting numbers, or they're choosing numbers. There have been some fun ones, I think. I know Dan Leberfeld was all grumpy about numbers recently, saying how, like, when do people start caring about this? Like, oh, I'm sorry. I like numbers. I like jersey numbers. I think Sal and I talked about this last Friday, how with receivers, here he goes again, receivers. With receivers, like, the big numbers can make you feel slow or look slow. Like T. Higgins wears 85,
mm-hmm.
And that used to be cool. Maybe it'll be cool again because now everybody's going to, like, 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
So here's 85 lumbering along. You know?
What are you, a tight end? We're an 85.
Luther Burden, the player I wanted for the Bills in the first round, went to Chicago early second. He's got 87. And his quote is, why 87? All the good numbers are gone.
Well, kids, don't ask for Luther Burden jerseys for your birthday or
That's
for
right.
Christmas, because the first chance he gets, he's going to something in the teens.
There's got to be some Nick Westbrook Akini type in that wide receiver room over there that will not make the team, and then Burden can swoop in
right.
at whatever number. He's on Miami, but somebody like that that's just sort of taking up a locker.
Yeah,
Mason Taylor with the Jets. Jets rookie tight end, the son of Jason Taylor, is wearing number 46. Imagine a weirder choice for a tight end than 46.
Is he hoping to become a blocking sled? Like, is that his career aspiration? Because 46 on a tight end, to me, sounds like you are the new Alec Anderson. You are being brought in. I guess if you have the number, you don't have to report, but whatever. You are, you know, you're Lee Smith.
Yeah, you're kind of Lee Smith. Do you know why he's wearing 46? Don't think too hard on this one.
Well, it can't be. His father wore 99, didn't he?
You know, I think that's right.
So I was, there's no half of that. So I
what about his uncle?
I don't know who his uncle is.
54, I think. Zach Thomas.
Oh, okay.
54?
Yes, he definitely wore 54.
99 minus 54 is 45.
Darn it! Doesn't work.
Mason Taylor says he's wearing number 46 because it's the number they gave him.
Okay, that's respectable.
Is that like an Eichel situation? where they gave him 41 for, I mean, like, we couldn't all see through that the first minute.
Right.
Oh, really? Is this a tryout?
That's a tremendous memory. I would not have, unprompted by you, your recollection, remembered that he was assigned that number, like that first rookie camp or whatever the heck it was.
41.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't have to buy up all the 41 jerseys or the 15s.
Yeah, as it turned out, right.
Matthew Golden, Green Bay. You know this one?
I do not. I've seen some of this. I saw the Giants. I've seen a bunch, but I didn't make notes. Matthew Golden.
The fastest player at the Combine. Arguably. A little bit controversial, his time, but still, got him drafted in the first round.
I don't have my hands around their receiving core well enough to know what's available.
Let me try. Romeo Doubs is 87.
Okay.
Jaden Reed is 11?
Yeah, actually, I don't know.
Christian Watson is maybe like 9?
Yeah, it's single digit or teens or something. It's a low number.
And Dontavian Wicks, I don't know.
Matthew Golden's wearing number 1.
Matthew Golden is wearing number 22.
Huh.
What a choice.
Yeah. Did he wear... what did he wear in college, Zach? Why do I have 23?
He wore 2 at Texas.
2, okay. Just a single digit. Okay.
He's wearing... this is a fast wide receiver.
22. Well, if he can't... maybe he couldn't get 2, so he doubled.
He's wearing 22 because that's the number of teams that didn't pick him. Which, we were supposed to draft you over Travis Hunter. that offends you that you were drafted over, Genty?
Listen, I don't need us to get a text or a, it would be great if we got a call live on the air from our friend Thurman Thomas talking about using that sort of scorn as fuel and being skeptical about it. I'm going to allow Matthew Golden to use whatever he needs to. He didn't drop out of the first round entirely like Thurman did, but I like this player.
This was see, here we go.
So I was like, go for it, dude.
Thurman, it's one thing to have the motivation. Thurman had the self-respect to not pick 39 because 39 teams, including his own,
right,
yeah, didn't choose him, or what, 33 because, or what, 28 teams, I don't even care. He wore 34, I think, because of Campbell.
Earl Campbell, I believe that's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to be mad about this, but I'm not going to sacrifice my jersey number for it. Matthew Golden, that's taking it pretty seriously. So I went through thinking about numbers.
I think I like 22 on a wide receiver.
Bob Hayes.
Yeah, works.
Hey, can you think of another one?
No. That's why I like it.
Has the show ever sounded older?
To me, 22 doesn't strike me. Well, certainly Bob Hayes. It does not strike me as a slow number. It's one of the he was like an Olympic 100-yard dash champion.
That was his brand.
Has the show ever sounded older?
Did he win or he was an Olympian?
He was an Olympian. Maybe he won. I don't know if he won gold or not. We can
bullet Bob
Google
Hayes.
That part. I have an inkling that he did.
Maybe he did.
I feel like Olympic champion was on that resume.
He won gold in the 64 Olympics.
All right. So 22, that feels like a fast number to me.
22 is Emmitt Smith, right?
Sure.
Well, who's probably faster than I think.
That probably is the ranking 22.
The ranking 22. Like right now, who's 22 in the NFL? It'd be like a DB.
Yeah.
Or running back.
Right. Fred Jackson comes to mind.
Fred Jackson.
Not known as a burner.
No, but he was good.
But he was good, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about quarterbacks and numbers, and I'm going through in my mind, and I went a long time, starting with Allen, before I got to a double. Like, Allen wears 17. No other starting quarterback in the NFL wears 17, I believe.
Really? Boy, I haven't thought about that.
I think he's the only one.
Huh.
There might be a guy, like sort of a guy who's in and out.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a Minshew
yeah.
type, maybe.
Right.
But, like, no. I did this for the whole league today. And
wow.
That's why I wasn't on my mower. And I've got, like, 22 quarterbacks who are, like, in. I think. There are a few others like Darnold. Well, he's in, but a few others who are either like a Rodgers who's not like announced yet, or somebody who, whose number I just don't know on their new team. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith wore 7 in Seattle. Darnold wore 14. Mm-hmm. I think everywhere he's been, he wore 14.
I think that's right.
But I don't know about with Seattle if he will do that. Maybe.
Yeah.
But of all the guys that I got to, Allen is the only 17.
What number does Purdy wear?
13.
13. Okay.
He is the only 13.
Well, you know, it's unlucky.
Of all the, of like the regulars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mahomes, 15. That's the only 15. Starting quarterbacks, like established starting quarterbacks in the league.
Are guys picking their numbers like that?
I don't know. No, no. I mean,
right?
Allen didn't.
No, he wore 17 in college. You know, so
I don't know why it started there.
It's funny that I would have never thought that. Like, if you had just said, you know, without prefacing it at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many repeat numbers do you think there are in the NFL amongst starting quarterbacks? I probably would have said half a dozen or more.
Half a dozen.
But like half a dozen that are repeat. Like there's three guys that wear 12. There's two guys that wear 16. Whatever. Like I just, there would have been a handful of dudes.
12 was the number when we were kids.
Yeah.
I can't think of a starting quarterback last year that wore 12. There might be one. Rodgers went to 8. There might be one that's another one of these fringe guys. I think, you know, there's a good chance there is. I'm trying to keep saying that because
yeah.
I didn't make a complete study here. There are two numbers.
Brady ruined 12.
Brady ruined 12?
Nobody else wants to wear 12 now.
Because you're compared with him?
Yeah.
I love when I watch my daughter play hockey. Like, there'll be an 87, there'll be a 97, and, like, just instantly go to they're playing right now. You're playing a new team. Watch out for 97.
Right.
Watch out for 87.
They don't give those jerseys to fourth liners.
You'd better be good.
Right.
If you choose 97 in hockey as a kid right now and you can't, like, dominate,
yeah.
badge, change.
Yeah.
I think get out of it.
That's why when I played, I wore the symbol for empty set, 0 with the line through it.
The line?
It was,
yeah.
I don't want to get anybody's hopes up.
Right.
Like, oh, look out for Nullstad over here.
That's funny. I've got two numbers where I've got 4 players. Two numbers, 4 starting quarterbacks. I think Allen is the only 17. I have Mahomes is the only 15. We have Purdy is the only 13. Lamar Jackson is the only 8.
Okay.
Prescott is the only number 4. But I've got 2 numbers with 4 guys and 1 number with 3.
I'm going to guess that 10 is one of these repeats.
10 is correct. 4 players.
Drake May's wearing 10?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't Mac Jones also wear 10?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Tells you how much Drake May really liked the number. Because you're the next guy up, right? Not sequentially exactly, but like you're the next new guy, the new hope. And like, no, I'm wearing 10. I don't care if the last guy washed out in 10. 10's my number.
10.
So, okay.
Great choice.
Sure.
I think. Yeah, 10 is 10.
10's 10.
10 out of 10.
10 looks good.
10 looks good.
Let's see, who else is wearing 10?
It's just small enough to be double digits.
Like starting...
Yeah.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
And not rookies.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jordan Love wears 10.
Jordan Love is right.
All right. And... Oh, man, I just watched highlights of this guy today, and now I can't remember what number he was wearing. Penix doesn't wear 10, does he?
9.
Okay.
I think. That's what I wrote down. So hopefully.
All right, who's the other 10?
Justin Herbert.
Man, I looked at the Chargers and thought of him and thought he's not 10.
I can't even really see it.
No, me either. Him. I thought about him and went, yeah, no, that's like a 7 or a 6 or something.
Is it because those numbers on the Chargers are kind of like slanted? Or is that not right either? I don't know. Justin Herbert and Bo Nix.
Oh, Nix was...
And I can't see that either.
Yeah,
I didn't watch enough of him.
I totally can see that.
Okay.
Because the zeros are so perfectly round, it seems like, on Denver. Like they're not as narrow as other numbers.
Is that right?
It's more of a bulbous zero.
It's more of a bulbous zero. Just entering a league right now as the bulbous zeros. Let me see if I can get this team going here. We're on the clock. Bulbous zeros are on the clock. One other number,
quarter after three, and I've got my head in my hands already.
Four guys.
All right, I got lost.
including two that faced each other in a Super Bowl.
Man, I was not ready for all this.
I'm sorry.
What am I looking for now? We settled 10.
There are four starting quarterbacks who wear 10. There's another number where four starting quarterbacks wear this number, including two that faced each other in a Super Bowl.
This is going to be nine?
Nine, right.
Stafford and who? Joe Burrow.
Isn't he nine?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Also Penix. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Young.
Bryce Young wears nine.
I didn't have that one either. I can't see it. I can't see Bryce Young in number nine. But yes.
I do now. I got it. Yep, I got it. Justin Fields wore two.
Justin Fields wore two for the Steelers and one for the Bears.
So he's going to wear three for the Jets.
Three for the Jets.
All right, that makes sense.
I'm wondering about that.
I don't really know that. Okay.
I don't have anybody else wearing number two among starting quarterbacks, mm-hmm. but I do have three ones.
Tua wears one.
Oh, that's four. That's right. Four then. I forgot about him. I meant to check him because I was only like 90% sure and I just never did.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I can see Bryce Young in that number now, but I thought he wore one too. But he doesn't. Yeah, anybody who's 101, I think, like, has a claim to, I'm going to wear jersey number one.
But that's another one where I'd want to be careful.
Yeah. So Tua is a one. Kyler Murray is a one.
Mm-hmm.
Also a 101.
That's right.
Right. What number is Jaden Daniels rocking? He's not wearing one.
Five.
Five, okay.
He and Anthony Richardson are the fives.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts wears one.
Jalen Hurts. And also Cam Ward will wear number one.
Okay.
Warren Moon gave him
permission
to wear that number. What do you think of that?
That
one's a little weird because he never played for Tennessee.
Yes, that's a thing. I mostly think that if you have had a career that resulted in the team you played with most prominently retiring your number, that any incoming player, regardless of, you play 6 years of college football and have a U-Haul trailer full of Heisman trophies.
Mm.
You don't show up and ask for the number that is retired. Not only do you not ask, you don't, because I think the story with Ward more was Moon offered. And I think what you do is you say no. I think you say no, thank you. You're a legend. I'm a new guy. I mean, no, I don't want you to just have to assign me a number like I'm a nobody. I am the first pick of the draft, but, I'll wear four, whatever. You're Warren Moon.
I don't know if he knew who Warren Moon was.
Well, all the same, just stay out of the way to me. Like, I think you should have the respect to be deferential about that. Even in this case, I think if I've got the story right, like preemptively, whatever, it's offered. No, thanks.
So
like,
then,
I don't need Abdul Carter asking if you wear LT's number, dude.
And he's not, right?
No, he's not. No, but no.
Did he pick 51?
51 is what he went with. Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know. I think he had a choice between 51 and 58.
Or 99?
Or something. I don't know. And there was some joke I saw earlier today that he chose the faster of the two numbers.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you should get a retired guy's number ever.
So when Ward is done playing, does the number go back to being retired, or do they share it? Does it matter? It does matter if he's great.
I mean, if he's incredible and wins the Super Bowl for the Tennessee Titans, that, you know, 15 years from now, they have, you know, if they have these things displayed somewhere, that his jersey would be next to Moon's with the number one, and then they would retire them both permanently until they draft another quarterback 101, 5 years from then, and both Moon, if he's still with us, and Cam Ward agree to let the new guy wear one, which I would also disagree with.
Is this a thing that would have an official designation? Like, is the number now unretired? Like, officially unretired? I mean, someone else is going to be wearing it, so it would seem like it's that, but I don't know if this is a category where there's like a home office. The NFL itself sort of keeps records. I think they probably do. But what happened? What is this now? What is this one? Is this just like it never happened? I don't know. Other quarterbacks that have the number to themselves, Baker Mayfield, 6. I didn't check that one, but I think it's right.
That sounds right to me.
Well, as of today, Tyler Shuck is going to take 6, and Jackson Dart is wearing 6 as well.
Okay.
New 6s.
Yes. Let me just write those in because I don't forget them. Dart and Shuck. Great.
6 seems like a tough... I like the single-digit numbers. 6 just seems to me... I'm too much of a hockey guy. 6 seems to me like a crease-clearing, cross-check-you-in-the-mouth defenseman to me.
Really?
Not a quarterback.
For me, it's a center. Although I don't know who. Who's the best 6 in hockey ever? There's got to be a few of them that were pretty good. I don't know. Yeah. I think Dr. J was number 6 for the Sixers.
That works.
Sixers.
I get it.
See, good thing he was great.
Yeah.
See, the Sixers.
I'm thinking of Schoenfeld with 6.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's why I had the mean defenseman thing in my head.
And he also wore 13.
Yeah, when he came back second time around.
Was it 13? I think it was.
Yes, yes.
Why didn't he get 6 back?
Because Housley had it, maybe.
Okay.
By then.
I wonder if they discussed it.
They fought with razors.
Did Schoenfeld ever coach the Sabres?
Nobody likes to talk about that story.
Was he ever the head coach of the Sabres?
Schoene?
Yeah.
I
Housley was.
I don't think so, yes. Craig Ramsey had like a few games under Bowman, I think, at one point.
He wasn't. He was. Schoenfeld was the head coach of the Sabres for half a season.
Does that line up, Ramsey? He wouldn't have been still playing when Bowman was here. I feel like Ramsey had a cup of coffee, but Schoene did too. All right.
85-86 in a year where Bowman also coached them, so maybe he was the person to replace Bowman.
Okay.
5-6. All right.
Some numbers.
Jared Goff, 16?
Yes.
He's the only one, I think. Like, again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm doing this.
Well, I believe Trevor Lawrence is also 16.
Oh, I never thought of him.
Oh, good job, Zach. Thank you.
The prince who was promised, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, 16. That sounds right. So two 16s. Good. I knew I didn't have them all. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
Maybe you should have cut the grass.
You should have cut the grass again.
Yes. Even if it was not complete, I'm pleased with your work here.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe there'll be a few others that roll in.
Right. After the deadline.
Yeah, right.
The fax machine.
The fax was sent. Sam Panayotovic next. We'll talk to Sal at 4, rookie minicamp. Bills on the field. And it seemed like a lot of them. You only have a few draft picks, but then the undrafted guys and some other ones brought in.
Different holdover practice squad guys that were here last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, we have plans to talk to Bandits star Josh Byrne later today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with Sammy P next on WGR.
Dorian Strong had a really good day today. Just being somebody that, you know, I'm taking mental rest when I watch D Strong, and hearing him go out there, play with poise and play like he's already adjusted, like that was good to see. And that's definitely somebody that, you know, we just got done doing a couple of extra rest outside. Just somebody that, you know, we're going to lean on each other and help each other get through this process.
Let's go. Rookie minicamp. Mental reps, extra reps. Max Hairston will talk to Sal about the day's events as we continue today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on a sunny Friday. Do you have action on USA-Denmark?
I do not.
Congratulations on that.
I do not. I didn't even think to go looking to see if I could find it.
Well, you're maturing.
I guess, yeah. I'm all set for tonight and tomorrow in the NHL, though.
Joining us now, the man that brought you Rumhams and DK Horse, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Sam Paniatovich, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app, and be sure to catch Bet Sweats weekdays from 9 to noon on the BetMGM network, which you can find on the Odyssey app and our The Bet 1520. Sam, how are you?
Boys, happy Friday. Would you rather we start with odds on me against three adult wild turkeys or 100 men against a gorilla?
I want to get there. I just want to hit pause for 1 second, though. International hockey, Mike just mentioned. I felt like my first breakthrough with Joe Ostrowski, when we were getting to know him when he was first coming on our show, was during the last Olympics. I had a very close friend of mine whose son lives in China and was like a pretty good hockey player when he was in his teens playing here in Canada. And he was like on the fringe of making the Chinese team. And my friend told me that, so like, just whatever the numbers are, USA, China in hockey, just don't worry. Just lay -4.5. Don't worry about it. Just lay it. And we had so much fun with Joe joking about how I knew I had an in on Chinese hockey.
You won, but I thought you were lucky because it really wasn't that kind of game.
It wasn't as much of a blowout as, but it did cover.
But it did on the scoreboard turn into one, yes.
Right.
So there you are.
Looks
Sam.
Like I got a line for you. I always got a line for you. USA 3-0 on Denmark, and the live line is -3.5.
Wow.
What do you want to do with that?
Still got a whole other period to go, don't we? It's only the second period.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not even over yet.
You hear Mike Jonesen over there? What do you like? I haven't watched the play, Mike.
That seems like you should jump on it. It seems like you should jump on it.
Play him to outscore Denmark by one in almost half a game. That's the side I would take. Yeah. USA is the side I would take.
Yeah, that seems like that
Sam,
seems doable.
What is the turkeys about? What is going on with the turkeys in your driveway?
I don't know what happened. I had to run to the UPS or USPS mailbox on the corner. It's like 50 feet from me. And I had to drop it in by 1 o'clock. So I bust out the door after my show with this card and I turn the corner. Oh, there's a pep in my step. I'm all excited. I'm going to get some steps in. And I look up and there's three wild turkeys staring at me. And these things are probably, I don't know, guys, like 30 or 40 pounds, and there's three of them.
They looked hardy. Like they were positioned in a driveway, and they obscured the car well enough to be sizable, I would say.
And then if you look at that picture, and I appreciate you, Bulldog, tweeting it out, there's a baby turkey behind them. So it gets really parental, and I don't have camera footage, but I wish I had it because I pivoted and ran right back in the house.
Do you have what you would call yet a situation?
They're gone, but they're always around, man. Like I remember one time I had to get a baseball bat and go out there because I was barbecuing, and they can smell the warm food that's been smoking for 14 hours or whatever, and then they're hovering around. Is it good? Is it one of their cousins? They don't know. And then they're all hoarding around my smoker, so that now I got to chase you out because I'm hungry.
And the bat was effective in that? You don't have to answer that. I want to know.
No turkeys were harmed in this operation, Sam. We'll just cover us that way.
Let's hope.
Not yet.
Yeah, so this is not an uncommon occurrence then, these turkeys like showing up in your driveway. Like they're around in your neighborhood. It's a common nuisance in your neighborhood, I take it.
Which you wouldn't think because I live 10 minutes from downtown Boston. But yes, the turkeys are plentiful around this part of the town.
Sam, are you loving these playoffs, NBA and even NHL?
They're exciting. I mean, we always want close games, especially after a pretty boring first round where we had to watch teams like the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic. Bad basketball first round. Second round, a bunch of upsets. I mean, what's not to like if you're a casual observer watching three teams that all won 60 games blow a combined five games where they led by 20 and lost? That's high-level theater, right? It also, guys, and I talked about this, Joe and I talked about this all morning, we have a big bet on Boston to win this series. It provides opportunity. And, Mike, you and I talked about this a little bit last week about seeing what happens in game one. Mm-hmm. Boston's minus 115 to win the series. They were minus 900 before the series. That's the definition of a bargain, guys. And eventually they're going to shoot better than 25% from three. They also, which nobody talks about, they were so much better on the road this year. They beat really good teams on the road. At home, they're kind of flaky. They're not really interested. This, you're going to get their A game on Saturday. I think they're going to win, and then what is the price do? It goes from minus 110 to minus 200, and now you're in a good spot. So we bet it pretty nice, Celtics to advance and beat the Knicks.
So what you're watching doesn't really deter you. You still feel good.
I do. They're healthy. They're just missing shots. Now, you know, another argument is, well, it's a small sample size and it could happen. I get it, but they're just too talented, man. They have so many good players, and I know they're down 0-2, but they were also killing them in both games. So now that you kind of woke them up, like the smelling salt moment, they're the champs, guys. And if they're going to be a team that wants to contend for another one, they got to show up on Saturday. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think they're going to go in there and blow the Knicks out. But, hey, that's why they play the games. I could be totally wrong on this.
How do you feel about the other series in the East where, again, the big team is down 2-0?
I just wish they were healthy, Bulldog. I don't know what's going on there. Now, it got bet up. I was up late, as I often am. At 1:30 in the morning, this morning, somebody blasted Cleveland. It was 2.5. Now it's, five and a half.
Yeah.
So it moved overnight, which is usually from a sharp bettor that knows what he's doing or what she's doing. And it's with conviction or information. And the two guys that are rumored, you know, Mobley and Garland, did not play in game two. If they're both playing tonight, that explains the move. But I texted a guy close to the Cavs, covers the team. He said, we don't know if these guys are healthy. Sure, they can play, but if they're not healthy, it might not matter. And that's the issue I have with making a stance on the Cavs. I'm not there. I don't see it. I don't know if they're healthy, and they very well could not be.
This late night betting corollary runs counter to my theory about the same kind of thing in fantasy football, which is that you want to be in like the midnight drafts because people drink and fall asleep. I have a friend who's notorious for falling asleep in late night drafts. It's good intentions. You want to jump in there and try to take advantage of a softer room, but it often backfires. In this case, you know, Vegas is on the West Coast. Maybe it runs the other way.
It could, but those are bets. Those are mostly offshore bets. Those are in, you know, like sports books like Pinnacle and Chris down in like Costa Rica, Panama. Like that's where, I mean, that's a different combo for a different day. That's where the big money is bet.
Okay.
It's not in the States. It's not in Nevada. It's offshore for sure.
And it doesn't take you 2 hours to do it like it would a fantasy draft where you have to just sort of hang in there for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Sam Paniatovich with us. Thoughts on the hockey playoffs? We talked to Greg Wyshynski yesterday a little bit about the odds, and he said he thinks before Edmonton's win last night even that a Canadian team winning would be more likely than not.
Wow, okay. So he's obviously really high on Toronto, which I guess makes sense. They're up 2-0, although series price is pretty interesting.
You see, tonight Florida is minus 230, down 0-2 at home.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to win. They're probably going to win. They should. Toronto too. I mean, think about this for context. So Toronto and Edmonton are both up 2-0. Toronto's minus 215 to win the series. Edmonton's minus 500 or higher. So it kind of tells you how the market feels. Now, Edmonton is going home and Toronto's on the road. So a little different there, but that's a drastic gap. That's a $3 gap in price.
And so Toronto has a history that you know, is hanging around their necks like an anchor of, you know, the first sign of adversity, they're going to fold. I think this series so far, and these playoffs in general, have shown that they're not as susceptible to that as usual. They were nails buttoned up here with 2-1-goal leads in these first two games. And, you know, there didn't seem like any sort of flurry or panic. It was, you know, pretty just level-headed. So, but their reputation, I think, is different than Edmonton's, even though Edmonton hasn't won anything in a long, long time either.
I hadn't even thought about this, but as you were talking, I made a very easy correlation between the Celtics and the Panthers. Like, they're both the champs. They're both down 2-0, but they've also been here before. So if Florida can turn it on, hell yeah, they can win the series. And let me just give you a bet from a buddy I really respect. This isn't my bet. It's his bet. And when he bets, I bet, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I follow.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a ticket. It was $10,000 on Carolina to win the series at plus 190. So it's a $10,000 bet to win $19,000.
When would that have been made?
Today.
Plus 190?
Yeah.
That series
not Carolina. On Florida. I'm
Florida.
Sorry,
thank Florida. Right, okay. Yeah. Carolina and Washington are tied 1-1. Yeah. Okay.
Carolina is probably favorite.
I got blinking lights in front of my face. It never ends. He bet $10,000 on Florida down 2-0 to beat Toronto. My bad.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I went a long time thinking they were the same franchise. Actually,
Florida and Carolina.
Yeah. Kind of around the same.
Reddish.
You know, half empty crowds. Not anymore. Sam, are you up for NFL question that we haven't discussed, just out of left field?
Always.
Who's a bad, if you can find one, who's a bad NFL team that might actually be good? I'll just give you a minute by mentioning the Giants here. I mean, the Giants have been an easy mark for a long time, but similar to how the Jets have been talked about, and that didn't work out last couple of years, but the good roster, like with the high picks they've assembled, especially on defense, then you have Malik Nabers. If quarterback is competent, can you not see sort of a decent team there? Maybe, I don't know. With these, you really kind of have to stretch a little bit.
So I don't trust the Giants. I don't think it's a bad idea, though, to buy low on a team. That's not ever a bad idea. When everybody says they're bad, they're probably better than everybody says. When you said a bad team that could be good, do the Cowboys count?
I don't know. What are we doing with the Cowboys? They've come up just sort of in passing as we've been talking about the league and just other points and, like, what teams are contenders. I mean, they were in the news this week with the big trade they made to acquire Pickens. And, yeah, I think in even talking about that trade, Sam, I said, that's a trade you make if you're a Super Bowl contender, right? You're going to rent him and see how it goes. You don't mind giving up the asset to make it happen because you're in a window here where you're trying to win now. And that's what the Cowboys have been here for the last few years, right? I mean, they haven't come through, but the talent on offense has mostly been there. So I don't know what to do with them.
I don't like the Cowboys. Actually, I kind of hate their guts, but I don't bet with my heart. I bet with the math. And they were decimated by injuries last year on defense. DeMarcus Lawrence got hurt right away. Parsons was in and out of the lineup. When he came back, he wasn't the same. They had a bunch of injuries on D.
And Prescott.
And, of course, Dak gets hurt, right. So here's what I was going to say. Their win total, 7.5. That seems too low. They're 2-1 to make the playoffs. I don't want to get crazy and say NFC or Super Bowl because I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're healthy, they can win 10, 11 games. The reason the number is low, two reasons. Number one, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, and everybody now thinks they're going to go back-to-back, which is very, very hard to do, as you guys know. And number two, the team formerly known as the football team is everybody's sexy darling now.
Right.
Everybody loves Washington and Jaden Daniels. So you have the Super Bowl hype from the Eagles, and you have this Commanders hype with Jaden Daniels, who's a really good quarterback. People are betting those two teams and not betting the Cowboys, which in turn provides a little value. Yep. I think 7.5 overs are a really good bet on Dallas.
The Bills, by the way, at BetMGM, have the shortest to make the playoffs odds in the league. Minus 650 today is that number to make the playoffs. Kansas City's minus 400. Very different. That's the division. I'm not sure the schedule beyond that would matter here, but just a tougher division.
I told you guys months ago, and Mike, you and I were going round and round about this. I think they have the easiest path to the playoffs in the league.
Yep.
The division, even if New England's better, which they should be under Vrabel, there's nobody barring health and barring an injury to a name we will not name again. They're not losing the division. They are the Patriots of the last, like, 25 years. Like, that's the stranglehold they have right now in the East.
Good luck with the turkey, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you next week. Sam Paniatovic from Bet Sweats, mornings on the Odyssey app. For all your betting needs, check out the BetMGM network. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. I mixed up the order on that one.
Any turkeys on the island?
Yeah. Once in a while you see them. You stop and wait for them to cross the road.
We've had them in our neighborhood every now and then. There's a rail corridor real close to where I live, and deer and other wildlife like sort of come up through yards through the railroad track. I think that's how it happens, although, you know, the park and the cemetery are a mile and a half away too, so that's close enough.
But right now what I have near me is a lot of geese that wander up and down the street.
Oh, that's really pleasant.
You know, 50 to 100 at a time. And if they're on, we don't have a lot of road traffic, so often I'll be on my way home and get about a mile from home, and there'll be 10 geese in the road. Just got to wait it out. Throw the hazards on, because nobody's expecting a stopped car, and you can't see what's in front of me.
Yeah. Oof.
But lots of geese. We will talk to Sal coming up at 4. Rookie minicamp underway with the Bills. And that coverage of rookie minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Welcome back. Bulldog, do you have the Sabres report up that you just told me about?
Yes, I do, Mike. David Pagnotta from the fourth period says the Sabres, he heard Sabres approached both Lou Lamoriello and Ken Holland, but neither seemed interested in an advisory role.
Well, it's not surprising to hear that.
No.
It's more surprising to hear that they were approached.
Yes.
And that they wouldn't want to do it.
I agree.
That's the report.
Yeah.
Neither seemed interested.
I mean, that could change.
What seemed as opposed to was?
Yeah.
Who's telling this reporter that they didn't seem interested? I don't know.
I think seemed interested is just a polite way to say that, you know, yeah, that no chance in hell.
But that's probably a little bit more polite.
That might just be me. But yeah, not I would not expect the way that that job was laid out by Elliot Friedman, reporting to Kevin Adams, is not, and I can't imagine somebody who's accomplished what either of those guys, say what you will about whatever age they are, where they are on their own career timelines. I mean, they've had wildly successful careers. It may be a while ago now, but still, I just would never have expected either of those guys to go, oh yeah, no, I'll come in and hold Kevin's hand.
Because it's just such a lift. I mean, if you're going at Lamoriello's age, you go to a team where you could maybe just sort of latch on to a winner and be useful.
Right.
But not this. I mean, this is a commitment.
Try to help keep the train on the tracks, not like build the railroad.
And you don't even get final say.
Right.
In this, as the Sabres thing is laid out.
So why would you want to put your name on
that? Why would you want to do that?
Yep.
Sal Capaccio after the break. This is WGR.